This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 Friday afternoon. Good Friday. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart, March 29th in Chicago. And the markets are closed today for the Good Friday holiday. They will reopen on Monday mornings. Chicago is ahead of the country when it comes to rising home prices. We'll cover that in our next segment on the Noon Business Hour. But right now, it looks like this year is setting up to be a big one for people looking to change jobs. A survey by the job site Monster finds an astounding 95% of Americans plan to look for a new job in 2024. Let's discuss the prospects with Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And it sounds like a lot of people who are thinking about changing jobs are in search of a heftier paycheck.
You know what, Rob, though? You hit it on the nose, because if you say plan versus hope or want, those are different. Those are different verbs. So I think a lot of people do want to and are thinking about changing jobs. Absolutely. The one other thing I would qualify that data with is Monster.com is a job posting board. There's a good chance a lot of the people that are going to that site are looking for a job. So we want to take that with a grain of salt. But absolutely, people are dissatisfied with where they are, and the pivoting back and forth in the economy in terms of whether we are in a recession, whether we're coming out of it, what's going to happen, our prices really, is inflation real or is it, you know, skimpflation, all these things have made people really uncomfortable about their financial situations.
There's been a lot of movement in the job market already. I mean, there's a name for it. It was the Great Resignation. Is that still underway, or has that period of movement ended?
It's hard to know for sure. I think the Great Resignation were the people that had, you know, the early adopters were the ones that had the ability to get out. So if you have the financial wherewithal based on what you've have in retirement or pension, et cetera, and also the job that you do, let's say you're a 65-year-old tradesperson, a plumber. I know that nobody who's that age, because I am that age, wants to crawl underneath the crawl space and start working on pipes. So it's just kind of a natural, organic thing. But the other thing that's happened on the other end of it is there are so many talent and skills needs in organizations that a lot of people who left have found there are opportunities for them to go back to work, but maybe more in their own terms as opposed to going back into a full-time role.
We're talking about finding a new job with Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago. It's a different search if you are looking for a job when you are employed versus if you are looking for a job when you're unemployed. If you're out of work, the old saying goes, your new full-time job is finding a job. But if you're already in a job, it's a different process, and you have to be a little more, I would say, circumspect in how you do that, because you don't want to really wear the fact that you're looking for a job on your sleeve.
Absolutely. And having been in this business for 36 years now, working with managers and executives in transition, I can tell you that people that don't have a job aren't very good at it, because it's really difficult to go out there and make a difference in the market, particularly when a lot of the visible opportunities are controlled by Monster, Indeed, these job boards, postings, company sites. And that's not where most people find their work. So maybe it's ironic that if you're looking for work and you have a job, you should be doing the things that everybody should be doing, but don't do. And you have more reason, because you don't want to get exposed. And that's just networking like crazy with people in the space around what they do. Do they like it? Is it fun? That kind of thing. Just having what seems to be almost frivolous conversations, but building your network and finding out about what's out there. And as you do that, your goal is to have more and more conversations with people in organizations that actually have the authority to hire you if they decided they wanted to. Not that you're going to go around talking to everybody saying, hey, do you have a job? I want it. But just connecting with people and getting them to understand what you can bring to their organization, but also spending some time understanding what they can do. Because I can change one thing about your job and change it from heaven to hell. And that's who you report to. So it doesn't matter how much money you make. There's a job you won't take no matter how much money it is. So you really have to spend more time investigating the culture and the style and the feel of the job as opposed to how much they're going to pay you.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm To Discern in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, an update on the increasingly expensive housing market in Chicago.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The cost of houses in the Chicago area continues to go up at a faster pace than the national rate. Let's talk about the situation as the spring home buying season kicks into higher gear with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. Drew, thank you for joining us today. And the housing market is counterintuitive. The pace of home purchasing is essentially ice cold because of the higher mortgage rates, and yet homes are more valuable than ever before.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me, Rob. Love to be here. Literally, you said it and summed it up perfectly. I mean, the home prices are really, you know, defying this gravity as you speak because there's low inventory. And really what happens with low inventory, there's pent-up demand. So people are actually paying more for the houses that they once saw.
And then when we're talking about getting into the spring buying season, of course, it seems like interest rates are picking up once again just because of activity in the bond market. So if you wanted to take advantage of maybe those momentarily lower mortgage rates, it seems like those days are gone for the time being.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, there's the predictions out there are that they're pointing in this direction that there's going to be some dip in the market. And that's obviously going to fuel that Chicago housing market, we hope, and see some increased activity. But really, the current housing shortage is just going to continue to mean higher prices and, you know, on the properties that actually exist. So certainly we hope that, you know, in the next couple Fed meetings that they do reduce these rates like they're talking about. And I think that'll really stimulate some things.
And if you are wading back into the housing market, you know, spring is here. And just a couple of days ago, I saw a realtor in my corner of suburbia wrapping up after a home showing on a Sunday afternoon. So clearly people are going out and there is some interest. But if you are jumping back in and you want to increase your odds of actually landing that house you really like, what are some things you can do?
That's a great question, Rob. I think that the, especially with the, you know, houses being lower in inventory, as the spring market comes, you're going to start seeing more of the people kind of coming off the fence and putting more houses out there. So I think you can get out there and still do your due diligence, do your shopping, talk to your realtor, make sure you get pre-approved for your mortgage so you're really more set and ready to go so you can actually act on the buy of that house. And this way, you don't have to worry about getting financing and taking, you know, the steps that you need. You've already got them done and taken care of, and they're out of the way.
We're talking spring home buying with Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago. A couple of days ago, Drew, we were talking about just the economics of renting versus owning and how sometimes maybe renting is more advantageous compared to actually owning a piece of property. And one of the pieces of analysis that that we heard was that maybe if you're a renter, you are probably uniquely positioned in the housing market, especially to jump on something you like, because you don't have to sell a house before you can buy one.
Very true. Very, very true. And a good example of that would be, think about the millennials. Like, they're in a position where they have so much debt between school and, you know, just life that they don't have a 20% down payment saved up. So really, they're going to shift towards that marketplace of renting. And we're starting to see these rent to own and rent to build properties where they're taking single family houses or they're building single family subdivisions and they're renting these things out. So that is really showing that there is a migration towards some renting because of the fact that the interest rates are high. And there's some folks that are kind of leaning on that. I think I'd rather rent size, and life changes really, you know, matter in this as well, too.
Drew Wishover, founder and owner of the Inspired Title Group in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next on this Entrepreneur Friday, opening up a new bakery with a Filipino flair. It's
the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and it's part one of our segment. And today, we meet the woman behind the new Filipino bakery set to open next month on Chicago's Northwest Side. We welcome in Kishel Fagaragan, owner of Umaga Bakehouse, which will set to open its doors in the middle of next month, mid-April, at 4703 West Foster in Chicago, Foster Avenue and the Edens Expressway. Kishel, thank you for joining us today. Now, this is not only a Filipino bakery, this could be the largest Filipino bakery, not only in Chicago, but in the country.
Yes, yes. Nice to meet you guys. We definitely wanted to bring the Filipino bakery to Chicago because we felt like it's been a hidden secret with Filipino bread. So with Filipino dishes and food like booming in Chicago, we definitely wanted the bread to become the next big thing.
Now, you have been a baker since 2007. So what have you learned in the past 17 years that led you to open Umaga?
Definitely just seeing like all like the hard work that my husband and I have put into what we've been experienced with. And it starts off when we were younger. You know, for me, my parents, they had a little bakery when I was little, and that was my playground. So growing up in a bakery, I saw how hard they work, and it kind of just matured me to like have more of a work ethic and gave me the love to just like stay in the bakery background. And then especially with my husband, he grew up in the Philippines, and coincidentally, his dad would bake bread in their home. And like 5 a.m, my husband Rob would just get on his bike and sell that hot bread for their family.
And you mentioned that there is kind of a boom in Filipino cuisine in the Chicago area, a number of places not only opening but receiving Michelin stars. What is it, you know, what is the most unique dish or the signature dish that that Umaga is going to serve that says, like, this really is Filipino cuisine?
Our pandesal, our ensamadas, those are going to be the two main things that we're going to be proud of that we want Chicago to try. And pandesal has always been a staple, like, dinner roll. So I feel like that's going to be that go-to, just, like, eat it with anything, sandwiches by itself or just eat it hot and fresh.
We're talking with Kishel Faraganan, owner of Umaga Bakehouse in Chicago. It's going to open on the northwest side, 4703 West Foster, coming up in just a couple of weeks. And you mentioned you grew up in a small bakery, and that was what your parents owned. But this is a large facility, a 4,000-square-foot facility. So it's more than just the food. It's about the presentation. It's about the architecture. It's, you know, there's so much more in making this show unique. So what's your thought process going into it?
Oh, a lot of thought process. Like, it started off with our name Umaga, because Umaga means morning in Filipino. So from there, we just started getting all these ideas of how we wanted to present Umaga Bakehouse. So coming into the store, we definitely want to give that consumer an experience of just like enlightening, warm, and having that hot fresh bread in the morning, but we're going to have it throughout the day.
And then lastly, let's talk about the location. I mean, you're in that shopping center, you're in the, which I know it is, as that's where the Target is. So yes. It's a well-traveled space. So hoping to bring a lot of people in who are on a Target run, and maybe they can get some bread too.
Yes, and even like morning commuters stopping by, we're right off the highway, so it's just going to be convenient for everyone, even after work as well.
Yeah, if you're slogging your way towards the junction because of the Kennedy construction project, don't get frustrated in traffic. Go and get some Filipino bread. At least you hope people are thinking along those lines.
Yes, that was definitely a goal, and like we just wanted to make the Filipino bread convenient for everyone.
Kishel Faraganan, co-owner of Umaga Bakehouse, opening next month, 4703 West Foster in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on this Entrepreneur Friday, taking the concept of a video arcade to levels not seen before.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Heavy equipment arrives in Baltimore to begin cleanup of this week's deadly bridge collapse.
This is Bernie Tafoya. A 110-year-old Chicago-area nursing school announces its closing.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. What's touted as the world's largest video game arcade is located in suburban Chicago. We'll talk to the owner and restaurants around the area making final preparations for what will be a very busy Easter Sunday. WBBM Business. The markets are closed for the Good Friday holiday. They'll reopen on Monday. AccuWeather says, for the rest of today, clouds and some sunshine, highs ranging the mid-40s along the lakefront to 56 well inland. We have 48 degrees right now under partly sunny skies at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, massive pieces of equipment are arriving in a Maryland river to help start clearing debris after the deadly collapse of a major bridge this week. The details from correspondent Sagar Magani.
Crews in Baltimore are getting ready to start clearing wreckage of the collapsed Key Bridge. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says it's the first step in what will be a very long process.
We cannot rebuild the bridge until we have cleared the debris.
A crane has now appeared on site, one of two that'll be used to clear tons of twisted metal and concrete debris, plus the ship that hit the bridge. Coast Guard Rear Admiral Shannon Gilreath says it's part of a multi-step plan toward the top objective, reopening Baltimore's port.
Step one of that is we're going to clear the debris from the channel. Step two is we're going to remove the vessel. And step three is remove the rest of the bridge debris from the waterway.
Moore says this will not happen fast, but it will happen.
The best minds in the world are here, right now, in Baltimore.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
A Chicago-area nursing school is closing its doors after more than 100 years of instruction.
Various reports indicate Oak Point University President Therese Scanlon sent out a letter announcing the school's closing. Without being specific, Scanlon says there are a number of reasons the school is closing April 19th. She says the challenges Oak Point faces are beyond what can be overcome in the school's current form. The school has about 560 students. Oak Point University opened in 1914 as West Suburban Hospital School of Nurses and has campuses in Wicker Park and Oak Brook. Lewis University says it will accept all Oak Point students who still need to finish their degrees. Bernie Tafoya, News Radio, 105.9 WBBM.
It's 12:33 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Markets are closed today. We welcome in Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And the big market mover, if there was a market to move today, would be the PCE number, which is the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, which was about right in line with analysts' expectations.
It was, Rob, and first let me wish you and listeners of the Business Hour a happy Easter and a healthy one as well. Back to the PCE. All right, yeah, they came in pretty much as expected, but let's go back. What Powell has said, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is he and other members of the FOMC want to have confidence that it's trending down. So although it remained unchanged effectively, obviously that doesn't provide the good news that the FOMC is looking for and proof that inflation is going to trend lower.
It's 2.8% year over year, according to the PCE number. Now, it's different methodology because we throw out a number of heat checks on inflation over the course of a month. There's the consumer price index, there's the producer price index, there's the personal consumption expenditure index, and we're talking about two different agencies and two different methodologies here. So why does the Fed like the PCE compared to the other figures?
Well, they've just decided that the composition of the PCE and the things that it's measuring are more accurate or give them a better sense of the underlying inflation trend. So the CPE has a much bigger weighting toward housing than the PCE. And as we've known, housing prices went nuts, which is one of the reasons why the CPI went up so much in 2022. So I think we can all learn a little bit from all the different measures, Rob, and it's important at this point in time to pay attention to all three.
Of course, if investors want to react to this latest report, they have to wait until Monday to do so. And how does that change an investor's reaction to a report when they have 2 days, 3 days to really mull it over?
Well, I think in this case, since the numbers came in as expected, Rob, it's a pretty muted response as opposed to if the number had been up or down more than expected, then you're more likely to see a reaction of some magnitude. But given that the numbers came in pretty muted, I would think Monday will be there won't be a big change on Monday's trading due to this number.
And then lastly, today is the last, yesterday was the last business day of the quarter. And even like the most sunny optimist with the most intense rose-colored glasses probably could not predict the market performance in the first quarter of 2024.
No, I can say, though, back in early January, based on technical analysis, I thought the S&P could rally to 5219, which obviously we did in the last 2 weeks, and we've gotten a little bit above. The one thing I would note on inflation, Rob, on April 10th, we're going to get the CPI for March. And given the increase you've seen in enterprise energy prices, I think that's going to have a pretty ugly reaction to that number. And next month's PCE is also, I don't think, going to reinforce the Fed's hope for confidence. So when they meet on May 1st, I think they will have two more inflation data points that aren't going to give them the confidence. And I think that's where the markets may react more strongly is when we get those data.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist, portfolio managers, macrotides.com in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Entrepreneur Friday, a visit to video arcade game heaven.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and if you're a fan of arcade-style video games, you want to head out to the western suburbs very soon. Welcome in Doc Mack, owner of the Galloping Ghost Arcade, located at 9415 Ogden Avenue in Brookfield. Doc, thank you for joining us today. And it's safe to say that the Galloping Ghost is a success. A lot of people head out to Brookfield to kind of relive their days of being a pinball wizard or a Street Fighter champ.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. We've been open for over 14 years now, and keep growing, keep expanding, and we're very fortunate to have players coming in from all over the world to visit here in Brookfield and check out all the machines that we have, which is approaching on 1,000 machines.
Now, this is more than just one business in Brookfield. The Galloping Ghost Productions name has a number of establishments in that western suburb.
Yeah, over the six-block radius that we kind of span, we've got seven businesses. It started with Galloping Ghost Productions, where we make video games. That opened in 94. Galloping Ghost Arcade, the Galloping Ghost Garage, which is our mechanic shop, Galloping Ghost Reproductions, which is our printing company, Galloping Ghost Pinball, which is a spinoff of the arcade. Then there's the Galloping Ghost Gamma, which is our gym and martial arts school. And most recently is Galloping Ghost Kaiju Kobo, which is a resin model kit company where we produce Godzilla model kits out in Japan.
Now, when you opened the Galloping Ghost Productions to develop video games 30 years ago, did you see yourself becoming not only an entrepreneur but an impresario? I mean, you've got all sorts of, like a renaissance man of businesses in Brookfield.
I've been very fortunate to just keep doing things that I'm passionate about, I love doing. It's not even work to me. It's great to see people happy and make people happy. And being here in Brookfield is amazing. And never had any idea where it was all going to go. And still, I know we're going to do more, but as to what, that's kind of left up in the air. We just kind of see what comes along.
Well, I have a personal experience that I think explains the Galloping Ghost success, and that was I played video games growing up. We had the original 8-bit Nintendo, and my greatest accomplishment before graduating from college and starting a family was beating Mega Man 2, and I was very proud of that, Doc. But then I stopped playing video games for a while. I retired. I guess I might as well quit while I was ahead at the age of 10. But then my daughters and I, we got a Nintendo Switch and set up a Mario Kart area in our home. And we had just have a great time doing that. I think for a lot of people, that must be a universal experience. You played video games growing up as a kid, and then you go back and you rediscover some of those titles as an adult.
That's actually an absolutely amazing part of it, seeing people that played games when they were coming out, share them with their kids and friends. And we've seen so many parents show their kids the games they used to play. And it's such a great bonding experience for them. And it's an amazing thing. It really perpetuates video games from the ones that came out in the late 70s and makes them still relevant today.
And then very quickly, you mentioned you have the arcade, but also the pinball location as well. How do you find all of these old pieces of equipment? And are there some that are more difficult to find or more valuable to find? I mean, for example, I know for a long time, like the tip of the top of old pinball machines were those Playboy pinball machines. Can you find them, and do you have one?
We don't have Playboy pinball. We have mostly horror-themed, and we're kind of all over. Pinball has such an amazing following, and it's only getting more. It's continuing to grow right now. Like, so many new people are getting into it. It's just a constant struggle to find parts and keep everything up and running. And we bring machines in from all over the world, and Japan and Spain. So we have machines here that it's the only place in the world that you'll be able to play them.
Doc Mack, owner of the Galloping Ghost Arcade, 9415 Ogden in West Suburban Brookfield. Thank you for joining us today. Still to come, Easter Sunday is an occasion involving major meals, with many of them not at home.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Easter is a big brunch holiday, and restaurants are gearing up for a very busy Sunday this year. We welcome in Frank Ruffalo, managing partner of Franco's Restaurant Group. And you manage 5 restaurants across Chicago, including Il Cullicino, located across the street from McCormick Place. And Frank, thank you for joining us today. And, you know, what makes a Easter brunch? What are some of the Easter brunch staples? And I'm guessing ham is part of that menu.
Definitely. You know, we focus on Italian food, so you have ham, but, you know, we're always going to have our classic Italian dishes. We do a lot of fish dishes, and we'll also do some great lamb, just because that's something that people are always looking for. So we want to have a little bit of every appetite that we could, you know, make sure you get a good meal out of it.
And how big, you know, in the culinary calendar, I mean, obviously there are some holidays that are big food and restaurant holidays. Where does Easter rank compared to, let's say, a Thanksgiving or a Christmas time or some other time of the year in which families get together to share a big meal?
You know, I think Easter is more of a holiday where people want to go out and get served and have a nice meal, have a couple mimosas and a Bloody Mary. And it's definitely a holiday where people are having an earlier brunch or a late lunch, early dinner. And that's something we're seeing, especially at Il Cullicino by McCormick Place. There's a big volleyball convention in town. So people who are on spring break and their kids are in a tournament, they're going to come over here, get some pasta, get a little fish, something simple. And then in our neighborhood restaurants like Jam and Honey, it's just a big breakfast place, and people are out and about. They want to get a nice hearty breakfast and head out from there.
And I was going to say, you have two established neighborhood places in Bridgeport and Beverly. You know, Franco's 31st Street in Bridgeport. And, of course, I'm a Beverly native, Frank, so I know there Frankinello's on Western Avenue. In fact, I know Frankinello's from before the fire.
You got it. So you're one of our longtime customers, someone that's been keeping our lights on. So we're happy to be around. And we cater to locals. You know, that's a great spot where people come and celebrate holidays and communion. So we're open at noon. We have a very busy, you know, lunch crowd, dinner crowd. And then people go home, they relax a little bit. So we're ready to serve everybody.
And not to get super hyper local about the dining scene in the Beverly neighborhood, but how's the place doing? Because, you know, Western Avenue, the west side of Western Avenue, of course, is known. That's where all the bars are located for those who have had some long rambles on Western Avenue in Beverly. But it's been kind of tough to make a restaurant work there. There have been a number of places that have come and gone, but Frankinello's has been around for 30 years.
Yeah, we're going on 32 years there. You know, we're a staple in that community, and that's just a testament to the people working there and living there. You know, they support us, and we support them. We actually just finished a big renovation. We put a retractable roof on, just like we have at Il Cullucino. So we have no plans of going anywhere anytime soon. We're there to, you know, serve everyone and make those memories. And, you know, we want to continue it for another 30 years.
Of course, you have three Italian restaurants in your portfolio. Is there something unique about an Italian Easter brunch? What are some of the things you must have?
You know what, we do a great zuppa di pesce, just because in the Italian culture, a lot of people aren't going to eat meat on Friday. So we do some great zuppa di pesce. We're, this weekend, we're doing some beautiful halibut, some nice mahi-mahi, some rack of lamb, some leg of lamb. So, you know, we want to capture all sides of the aspect of it and make sure that any person that has whatever dietary restrictions, whatever it is, that they're getting something they could eat. And don't get me wrong, you know this, especially in Beverly, a lot of kids, a lot of families. So if they want their plain butter noodles or just a little, you know, cappellini marinara, we have that also for
them. It seems like you know the restaurant business. If you have butter noodles and chicken tenders, then you could probably win over all fickle childhood palates.
Listen, I hate to break it to you. The kids are the ones making the decision, right? So if you can't appease them and have something on the menu that they want, I don't think the parents are going to have a good meal either.
You're darn right. Frank Ruffalo, managing partner, Franco's Restaurant Group. Five locations across Chicago, including Il Cullucino, located across the street from McCormick Place. Thank you for joining us today.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.